Blog Talk Radio.
We're still in the aftermath of election 2012. But let's deal with the events today, or the birthdays. In 1483, Martin Luther was born on this day, and of course, this whole business about he nailed 99 theses. He became a Roman Catholic priest. And he objected to some of the things, and there were a lot of corruption that spread throughout the Roman Catholic Church at that time. And if you want to see some of this, I recommend that you see both versions of the Borgias, which there's a French-Italian version with some great Irish actors, and then there is the HBO, I think it's Starhood's version. But anyway, it'll give you an idea what happened with the Roman Catholic Church about the time of Martin Luther and all the corruption. William Hogarth, the great painter, was born on this day. Friedrich Schiller, who the Ode to Joy, his poetry, was used by Ludwig von Beethoven as the final choral movement of the Ninth Symphony, and Beethoven was deaf at the time that he wrote this. It's quite a feat. We had... here we go. Nicholas Vachel Lindsay was a great poet. He wrote General Booth Enters Heaven, born on this day. Frances Perkins, the first woman in the cabinet. FDR appointed her U.S. Secretary of Labor during his administration. Great actor Claude Rains, remember him in Casablanca? And how he used to cheat at cards, and he was playing the political field during World War II when French North Africa was supposed to be Vichy, but they were straddling the political fence because they didn't know which way the wind was blowing so far as were the Allies going to be able to defeat Hitler and General Pétain, Marshal Pétain, who was the head of Vichy France at that time. The guy who started Northrop Aircraft, John Knutson Northrop, was born on this day. Great jazz singer, Jane Froman, born on this day. And Harry Andrews, he never got a knightship. Great bulk of an actor, probably best known in the Sergeant Major in The Hill with Sean Connery. He died. He was born on this day. Richard Burton, who was from Wales, had a great voice. We're going to play a few of his clips because He had this magnificent voice and great actor. Of course, his big mistake was getting involved with Elizabeth Taylor. But here's there's a few excerpts that we have from the soundtracks of his films. Here's the first of them.
I actually fell for him. It. That. There.
Martha's a romantic at heart.
That I am. I actually fell for him. And the match seemed practical, too. For a while, Daddy really thought that George had the stuff to take over when he was ready.
Wait a minute, Martha.
And we both thought that naturally...
Stop it, Martha.
What you want.
I wouldn't go on with this if I were you.
No, you wouldn't, would you? Well, you're not.
You've already sprung a leak about you-know-what.
What?
About the sprout, the little bugger, our son. If you start in on this other business, Martha, I warn you.
I stand warned.
Do we really have to go through all this?
So anyway, I married the SOB. I had it all planned out. First he'd take over the history department. Then when Daddy retired, he'd take over the whole college, you know? That was the way it was supposed to be. Getting angry, baby, huh? That was the way it was supposed to be. All very simple. And Daddy thought it was a good idea, too, for a while. Until he started watching for a couple of years. Getting angrier? Until he watched for a couple of years and started thinking that maybe it wasn't such a good idea after all. That maybe Georgie boy didn't have the stuff. That maybe he didn't have it in him.
Stop it, Martha.
Like hell I will. You see, George didn't have much push. He wasn't particularly aggressive. In fact, he was sort of a flop. A great big fat.
Stop it, Martha.
I hope that was an empty bottle, George. You can't afford to waste good liquor. Not on your salary. Not on an associate professor's salary.
That was Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. And Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Apparently a lot of people were. Here's another excerpt from a Burton film and soundtrack. It's from Beck.
King Henry II, seized upon the person of a priest of the Holy Church, and unlawfully did hold him in custody. Furthermore, in the presence of Lord Gilbert, and by his command, his men seized upon this priest when he tried to escape, and put him to death. This is the sin of murder and sacrilege. In that, Lord Gilbert has rendered no act of contrition or repentance, and is at the moment at liberty in the land. We do here and now separate him from the precious body and blood of Christ and from the society of all Christians. We exclude him from our Holy Mother Church and all her sacraments in heaven or on earth. We declare him excommunicate and anathema. We cast him into the outer darkness. We judge him damned with the devil and his fallen angels and all the reprobate to eternal fire and everlasting pain.
from Beckett, one of the great films with Peter O'Toole as Henry II. And, of course, it's relevant to religion today because this was when the English England was Roman Catholic until Henry VIII had this fallout with the Pope over divorce and marrying Anne Boleyn. And, of course, we now have the Anglican Church, which was started because the issue was Roman Catholic monks and priests were reprobates, some of them, and there was sodomy. We don't know about gay marriage, although that goes back to the Roman Emperor's time of Elagrius, and we'll get into that another day. But Roman Catholic Church had quite an influence after the Norman invasion. So we'll get into that also another day. We talk about why the Anglican Church has come full circle with this gay lesbian marriage business. Now here's another clip. John Huston produced this film, Night of the Iguana, where Richard Burton, in this role, plays an Anglican priest in Mexico.
I remember during the Night of the Iguana, bringing my assistant, Tommy Shaw, back from the location to Puerto Vallarta with a broken back. Our boat had too deep a draft to get in close to the beach. It was late at night, and no canoes were about. A half dozen of the crew jumped overboard with the improvised stretcher, and standing on the sandy bottom, their heads below water, they held the stretcher up while Tommy was lowered into it. Then the disembodied forearms and hands carried him in. It was something out of Jean Cocteau. I remember my continuity girl on The African Queen.
Now, that was John Huston talking about his film, The Night of the Iguana. I forgot what happened to Richard Burton on that. But we'll go on with the birthdays today. We had Ray Scheider, who did The French Connection. Ray Scheider was born in Chicago. Here's another Midwesterner. David Stockman was the budget director for Ronald Reagan, and the budget is very much on people's minds. And in 1959, Michelle Phillips was born, and she was lover of John Phillips and of the Mamas and Papas. There's a video out which we acquired for our library, and we'll be playing excerpts from that. Among the deaths today, and this is getting back to the American Civil War, in 1866, Captain Henry Wirtz, who was an immigrant from Switzerland, he was the commandant of Andersonville, which was the prison in the Confederacy which held the captured Union soldiers and officers. There were horrible, horrible conditions. And, of course, according to Patrick Butler, who's an expert on the American Civil War and Illinois' premier political correspondent and journalist, that the North up in Camp Douglas in Chicago had the Confederate prisoners and conditions were just as bad. But in all wars, it's the victor who dictates the terms and runs the trials and executes those that who happen to be on the losing side. In this case, Captain Henry Wirtz was put on trial, and he was found guilty of abusing Union prisoners of war, and he was hanged. Yeah, there's an interesting movie and play on Captain Wirtz. 1938, the guy who started modern Turkey after the Ottoman Empire collapsed, and also who was the genius at the Battle of Gallipoli. In fact, Colonel... Who was at the Trevor Hodges, a little slow today, excuse me, who was in the Grenadier Guards, who was in the Battle of Gallipoli, talked about the Turks and how they were able to defeat the British, the Australians, and the New Zealanders. And it was brilliant strategy, but it was poorly executed. And the Kemal Ataturk got his fame at the Battle of Gallipoli and later overthrew what was left of the Ottoman Empire and became the leader of modern Turkey. He died in 1938, and he made Turkey into a secular government. although there are extremists there in the Muslim world who want a caliphate and all of this other nonsense and to establish one here in the West. A great French director who did the silent film Napoleon, Abel Gance, died on this day. And, of course, Francis Ford Coppola reconstructed the film, and it is a cinematic masterpiece. One of the survivors of Stalin's regime, Leonid Brezhnev, died on this day. And, of course, we had we now have Putin, who is not KGB, but GRU, which was Russian military intelligence. Among the events today, getting back to New York, and I guess the Dutch were glad that they ceded what was called New Amsterdam to the English. In 1674, the Dutch ceded New Amsterdam and Peter Stuyvesant to the British. And, of course, you know all the problems today with the storms and ones on the way that's hit the East Coast, New York and New Jersey. And on this day, the United States in 1775 established the United States Marine Corps, which is our oldest military service. And I think I have John Philip Sousa was in the Marine Band, and he wrote a lot of marches. They called him the American March King, and I think I have a march here. Let's see, to salute the Marines. And, of course, we have a applicant for the Federal Judiciary for the Ninth Federal Circuit, a guy named Tiger, who apparently came from England. And he got into a spat with a Marine Corps veteran who was a lawyer trying a case in Tiger's court. Tiger was over in Alameda County. And Tiger objected to this Marine wearing a lapel and some other issues. With Obama, he got through the Senate Judiciary Committee, and so we don't know if he will get confirmation by the U.S. Senate. It'll be interesting to see. So anyway, here we'll play John Philip Sousa, original orchestration by Sousa, and a recording in our archives of the Stars and Stripes. decided to play that one instead of as those caissons go rolling along, a little different. And, of course, Sousa's birthday is in November, and we'll have more music from the archives. Among the other events today, we had Louis Napoleon was exiled to the United States. He was one of the brothers of Napoleon Bonaparte. And he was lucky that he wasn't exiled to St. Helena, like his brother. I don't know what he did. Louis Napoleon did when he was exiled to America. There is a opera by Puccini called Manon Lescaut, which is a Frenchman who's exiled to America after the French Revolution. Very melodramatic. In 1864, in the midst of the American Civil War, Maximilian, who was the younger brother of Franz Joseph, needed a kingdom. So the French decided to set him up in Mexico while Lincoln was absorbed with fighting the American Civil War and fighting the Confederacy. And Maximilian set himself up with his Carlotta. And there's a famous movie called Juarez. And Benito Juarez was the first Indian to become president of Mexico. He was the grand uncle of Raul Almison, who was a lawyer who escaped Corregidor after the fall of the Philippines. And he emigrated to America. And one of his daughters married a U.S. Marine who was distantly related to General George C. Marshall, quite a family. And Raul Almison tried to help the American veterans of Filipino extraction who were living in the United States and living in HUD-subsidized housing. And we'll get into the rest of him another day. Juarez, after the United States, won the Civil War, objected to the French being in Mexico, and the French Foreign Legion withdrew, and Maximilian tried to fight on to retain what was not his to begin with, and eventually Juarez defeated him, and he ended up against the firing squad. And of course Carlotta fled to Europe and tried to get aid, but she went insane. Now there's a famous movie starring Brian Ahern as Maximilian, Paul Muni, who was the grand uncle of Michael Tilson Thomas, the Russian Jewish family, Tilson Tomaszewski, or Tilson Thomas was the conductor of the San Francisco Symphony, and his parents were Bessie and Tomaszewski of the Yiddish Theater, quite a family. But Paul Muni used to star in all these roles, and so he darkened his face, and he played Juarez, and Betty Davis played Carlotta. It's quite a film. Anyway, moving on, in 1891, the Women's Christian Temperance Union had its first meeting in, of all places, Boston. In 1917, 41 suffragettes picketed the White House. They were to get the right to vote. And it wasn't until Harding came along as president and the women were given given the franchise to vote. Now, this brings up the question of the Electoral College, which is an anachronism, or as someone called it, our House of Lords, and it's not worth the trouble. It's time to have direct election of the presidents, and whoever gets the most votes nationwide wins the election. The whole purpose of the Electoral College was set up at the beginning of the country because the Founding Fathers did not trust, women did not have the vote. Indentured servants who were white did not have the vote. Blacks, who were not considered citizens, did not have the vote. And Native American Indians did not have the vote. And the Founding Fathers did not trust the common people. So it was a kind of an aristocratic break on the legitimate political aspirations of the common people who didn't own land or property or were wealthy. But that's all changed today, and it's time to get rid of this anachronism. The Electoral College should go. Also on this date, the American Legion was founded after World War I. Poland in 1918 after the end of World War One. Poland, under Marshal Pilsudski, announced that it was independent from the Russians and the Germans. Poland was always being carved up after the 17th century. And, of course, we had our Canadian friends, Vincent Massey of the Massey-Ferguson family, the world's biggest tractor maker. Vincent Massey, Canadian, was named Canadian ambassador to the United States, and his brother, Raymond Massey, emigrated to the United States and became an actor. And also you see him in Dr. Kildare with Richard Chamberlain. In 1928, war criminal Hirohito became Emperor of Japan. And it was MacArthur that saved his ass because a lot of people thought Hirohito should have been in the dock with Tojo. And in 1945, the Albanian communist dictator, Anix Verhoeyer, set up Albania as a communist country. Albania was next door to Yugoslavia. In 1950, Jacobo Guzman became the president of Guatemala, and CIA and United Fruit and Anaconda Copter, all the American exploiters down there in South America, plotted to overthrow this guy. So they succeeded. And to send a message at the airport, he was stripped to his underwear and then humiliated and then put on a plane, and he never returned. And then in 1954, to celebrate the Marines, Iwo Jima Memorial was set up. In 1960, the United States Senate passed the Civil Rights Bill. In 1975, one of the worst storms on Lake Superior, which is an inland lake, the iron ore carrier, the Edmund Fitzgerald, sank in a storm. 1975, Yasser Arafat addressed the UN. A lot of people think he's a terrorist. And Gary Gilmore was finally executed, I think, by firing squad in Utah. In 1980, get this, Dan Rather, who's a very controversial CBS correspondent, refused to pay the $12.25 that he owed the cab. Taxi cab in New York, and so CBS paid. I don't know why. And then 1989, we saw the fall of the Berlin Wall. The East Germans started smashing holes in the wall, and finally those holes brought that wall down. Now, here among the scandals, and we need to start looking at the voter registration and voting. We have our controversial sheriff here, Ross Miracarini, who beats up women, or his wife in this case, and may have been another woman involved. For the moment, he is a sheriff of San Francisco City and County, and he decided he was going to register the inmates of the San Francisco City Prison to allow them to vote and to use the jail as an address, which we think is illegal. Anyway, over 400 inmates were registered to vote. We don't know if they voted. So this needs to be examined. Also, Warren G. Harding, we think he should get credit for the fact that he set up the Bureau of the Budget. He started disarmament talks, and even though he was a slob and a lot of questions about some of the other things, but again, he was apparently America's first president with, quote, Negro blood. That was a term used in those days. And he said, I can't help it if one of my ancestors jumped over the back fence. Unfortunately, Harding, even though he was a publisher and editor of an Ohio newspaper, he abused the English language and came up with a couple of horrible things like bloviating. I still don't know what that means. And then normalcy, which the correct word is normality. We'll be back Monday. We had a mistake with the Patrick Butler interview on the aftermath of the 2012 election. He was there at McCormick Place on the night of Obama's re-election, although he told me he did not touch the hem of Obama's garment, although he does know him. And we'll talk about fraud in Illinois and where the Democrats still run things. And we'll get into George Christopher, the man who was responsible for bringing the New York Giants to San Francisco. And again, what's the matter with California's media? Jack Cashel, the famous author, who apparently is ignored by California media. We'll get into that. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker. We're going to see where things go. We've got a lot of politics, and we'll see if any of these guys will sit down and play poker and decide where they're going to go. So here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey,
Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Well, they bet a pair of jacks and they lost. Or so we'll be back Monday, and hopefully we'll have the Patrick Butler. First part of that interview was a 15-minute interview. This is Peter Paul Brazola, and have a good weekend. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We should have some new stuff up there. Good night.